A left turn two deserts ago.
I can't believe we passed that last oasis. I'm getting thirsty.
Lost. Oh, these wise guys are lost.
Wise men don't get lost, Felix.
So you're saying they know where this birthday party is?
And what makes you so certain it's a birthday party?
Oh, here we go.
Have you seen the presents these guys are bringing? Gold, myrrh, frankincense?
Could be a baby shower. You bring gifts to a baby shower.
Baby shower? What is the baby going to do with frankincense, silly camel? It's a birthday party.
Baby shower.
Birthday party.
Baby shower.
Birthday party.
Baby shower.
Birthday party!
But what if it's not a party at all? What if we're on our way to do something important? Like, I don't know, meeting the Son of God.
Uh-oh. Deborah's crazier than a box of rocks.
I believe the expression is dumb as a box of rocks.
You ever shake a box of rocks? They sound crazy.
Your quest would lead, still you'll proceed.
Have you ever wondered if the journey is worth it, if you're heading somewhere that you really want to end up? I think we all do. The camels from this movie, The Star, which is a Christmas, is the Christmas story, but it's kind of a family-friendly way of telling it through the perspective of the animals. So the camels, they're like, what's up with these wise guys? They're journeying for a long, long time. In fact, we know they're from the east. Scholars believe that it's anywhere from 500 to 1,200 miles that they had to journey. And that would have taken months, maybe years, for them to take that. It would have been very expensive. And so they go on this journey. And of course, any journey that you take, especially one like that, there's going to be moments where you're like, is this the right journey? Was this a wise move? What about your journey of faith? Have you ever had a moment like that where you're like, I look at other Christians and do I really want to end up like them? Or I look at the way that things have gone and I thought that it would go one way, but the way that it's been, did I make a wise move? I've never had that problem in my entire life. I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, no, that pastor's never had a... No, seriously, I've had that problem. I've had that question many, many times. Many times. And I don't think that you're a bad person or a bad Christian if you have a question like that. If you wonder along the way, along the journey, it's like, is this going the way that I hoped? I think that's a really normal thing. And probably just means that you're tired or it's been a long journey. And what I've found, and maybe you've experienced this as well, is if you don't, what you think you might find, if you don't know what you might find, like the Magi, they didn't know. All they saw was a star. They didn't know, are we actually going to find the Son of God? Are we actually going to find him? Really? But they took a chance. They saw this star, and they went on the journey. I think some of us, we don't even go on the journey because we have a hard time seeing the evidence. We won't even start the journey. We lose steam along the way because we don't have a really clear idea of what we might find. Or maybe we're concerned about what we might find. And so I want you to ask this question. What do you believe that you would find if you sincerely searched for Jesus? Not physically. If you sincerely searched for Jesus, a relationship with God. If you had not just like I'll just do a quick Google. I'll ask ChatGPT if Jesus is like real and stuff. If you sincerely searched for God, what do you think you'd find? If we're honest, there's a lot of us that we'd like to find new and everlasting life. That sounds great. But what we think we'll find is probably a bunch of hypocrites. Maybe some judgment from the hypocrites, or maybe judgment from our friends who might not be super approving of such a spiritual journey, or maybe from God, maybe accountability to God. I don't know about that. See, what do you think you would find? Because what you think you'll find, what you believe you'll find, determines how motivated you are to actually go on a journey. And the Magi, they thought that it was possible. They didn't have proof, but they thought it was possible that they could find the Son of God. But we do things like this all the time, don't we? All the time. You turned on the Cyclone game, and some of you, you had faith. You're like, this is going to go our way. And you didn't know until the very last minute, did you? You had no idea. Some of you, you were like, I know how it's going to turn out. I'm not even going to watch the last few minutes. I'm too nervous. I'm too scared. And you missed out on a party, didn't you? You missed out. Because none of us want to look like fools. None of us want to end up in a dead end somewhere, especially when it comes to things like God. None of us wants to waste our time. And none of us want to miss out either on those magic moments. See, the Magi, they didn't either. They thought that they could find, not magic like, you know, like magicians, which, by the way, that's where we get the word magi from. They were thought of as magicians, but not like charlatans and tricksters, people that were scientists. They studied so many things that to the common person it appeared like magic. But really, it was study. Really, it was God's creation. They thought that just maybe the star was an indication, enough evidence that it was worth looking a little closer. And so they journeyed. And they journeyed to Judea, where they came to Herod, who was the king of the Jews. And Herod, he was not a Jew. He was placed there by the Roman government that was occupying Judea. And he was called Herod the Great. You know what he was great at? Killing people. Yeah, not a super nice guy. He built a few things. That was kind of nice, I guess. But mostly people were afraid of him. And when the wise men showed up, King Herod was deeply disturbed. He was deeply disturbed for a few reasons. One, they showed up looking for this newborn king of the Jews, and he was king of the Jews, and he had no newborn. So that meant that there was a threat to his kingdom. I think that's also why some of us, we don't really feel too excited about going on some spiritual journey to discover God in our life. Because we have a kingdom and we kind of like how it is. And if we look too hard, we might find him. Or maybe if we look just enough, we can control him. And that was Herod's plan. To find him and control him. And of course, there were the religious leaders there as well, and they were disturbed. Why was everyone in Jerusalem disturbed? Well, because Herod was disturbed. And when Herod's disturbed, heads roll, and they're probably Jewish heads. So the religious leaders, the ones that probably should have gone to find the Messiah, they don't. They miss out on the Messiah being born, their Messiah being born. Why? Well, they're too tied up in all the politics, too scared of what everybody else thought of them, and it felt too dangerous for them to make a 6-mile walk to Bethlehem. And yet these people, these magi, who were the ancient scientists and scholars and philosophers, astronomers of the day, these learned men, and actually, if you look at the original language, it could be men and women. And I know that some of you are like, there were three of them, right? There's three in that video. It's like, well, three is a great number because they brought three gifts, and it fits great around that nativity scene in your yard. But there could have been hundreds of them. And in the original language, we don't know if it was just men or was it men and women from the East, because it would have been, they would have used the same masculine word in the grammar. And so we don't know exactly who they are, but we know that they were learned and they were renowned around the world. And the fact that the smart people showed up after such a long journey disturbed people. Because all of a sudden there was some serious credibility to that star. All of a sudden there was some serious credibility to this newborn king. See, there's modern magi as well, and so here's just a few scientists, modern astrologers or astronomers and people that are the smart people, if you will. Now, I had to put this one in there for sure, and so this is Jennifer Wiseman. Are you kidding me? Are you serious right now? Like, she was created for this sermon. Okay, no, she's created for obviously a lot more than that. I wanted to put her title up here, but I'm going to summarize it for you because it barely fits on a slide. She is an astronomer at NASA. She is the senior project manager for the Hubble Space Telescope. Perhaps you've heard of it. She's seen more of outer space than most humans. And you know what she says about faith? Science inspires awe and wonder, which leads to a deeper understanding of our Creator. She's a modern-day magi. She's reading the stars and figuring out more about what God is up to. It's pretty cool, right? But it's not just like one. I think the common thought is like, oh, well, the smart people, most of them are atheists. I don't know. Got to be careful with that. Here's just a few more. How about Ian? Ian Hutchinson. Dr. Ian Hutchinson. He is a professor at MIT and a nuclear physicist. You smarter than that guy? Because he's a faithful follower of Jesus, and he writes books about it and speaks to the scientific community about why their mind should be a little more open to miracles without sacrificing the scientific method. Modern day magi. And there's more, of course. You might see President Obama there is awarding Francis Collins the National Science Award, or the National United States Science Award. And of course, Francis Collins, who was the director of the Human Genome Project, which, by the way, if you don't know what that is, that means that he took your DNA and he mapped the whole thing. So you're like, oh, that sounds like pretty easy. You get some awards for that? Now, you know that puzzle that someone got you for Christmas? You got like 2,000 pieces in there. Just get another like 2 million of those, and that's like how many puzzles he did, okay? He did like a bajillion puzzles, and it all can heal your body. That's pretty incredible. Faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Says, we worship in the cathedral and in the laboratory. But let's do one more quote from John Lennox here, who's professor emeritus at Oxford for mathematics. Kind of smart. Faith is not a leap in the dark, he says. It is the exact opposite. It's a commitment based on evidence. We make commitments based on evidence all the time. When I married my wife, Michelle, she did not have scientific proof that I would be a good husband. She made a guess. But hopefully she had a little evidence. Most things we don't know how they're going to turn out. But we make our best guess based on the evidence that we have. Have you looked at the evidence? Have you looked at the evidence that's there? For the Magi, they saw this star. They didn't know if they were going to find the Son of God, but they're like, that is significant enough for us that we're going to pursue it to the end. And we're going to find out what we need to find out. They had a Magi mindset. What about you? When it comes to your faith journey, what do you expect that you would find if you were to actually set out on that journey in sincerity? What do you actually think you'd find? Do you have a Magi mindset? And more than just a scientific mindset, do you have a wise guy mindset? See, the Magi, they thought about the world in a few ways that I think are really helpful for us, whatever kind of journey that we're on. And so let's just look at a few of them. Here's one. And so the first Magi mindset is this: I'm not threatened if my Creator is the king of my life instead of me. How about you? Because sometimes I am. I would love if I could just control all the outcomes in my life. I would love it if everything would always go the way that I wanted it to, and if I could have all the power and all the control, and that would just be great. You're starting to be like, is this pastor evil? I'm trying not to be, okay? But wouldn't it be nice to be able to control everything? And then again, maybe it wouldn't. See, the Magi, they knew and believed that whoever created all of this, who created the whole vast universe, They're orderly, and they're creative, and they're beautiful, and they're generous. And they're a lot smarter than me, a lot wiser than me. They would be more aware of my purpose than I would be. And I might be tempted to tell them, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. Why don't you make my life like this? And I know the Creator would say, oh, creation, don't you know I made you for something even better? See, it's a magi mindset that allows you to find the truth. I'm not threatened. Are you threatened? I'm not threatened like King Herod was if my Creator is the king of my life instead of me. Let's look at another one, another magi mindset. Is the Creator can blow my mind. And then I just get to explore. I get to enjoy it. See, a lot of people, they want to pit science and religion against each other. They'll say, okay, well, science is concerned with what's real, and religion is concerned with you know, what feels right for those people. And science, you know, they come to a consensus and they agree on everything, right? Well, okay, fine. There's some scientific differences between different scientists. But for the most part, it's just the truth, right? You know when someone wants to just, like, win an argument and they say, because science, which is like a total cop-out. It basically means they don't know. And then, got to be fair to the religious side of things, too. Have you noticed that some religious people are like, well, because God did it. And says God did it, you just got to believe that God did it. You know what the real Christian view is? You know what a magi mindset is? Is that, oh, there's some phenomena that we can explain. God did it. That's so great. Oh, there's phenomena that we can't explain. God did it. Scientists, can you help us figure it out? See, Christianity brings science and faith together. Do you know why the scientific revolution actually began? Those of you that know your history, you know that it began in the church with Christians who created universities. The scientific revolution and all of the healing that's come from the medical advances and all of the technology, all of those things started because of people of faith. And they have this magi mindset. When's the last time the Creator and the Creator's creation blew your mind? Or has it kind of been a little meh lately? Has it kind of been a little, it's fine? When's the last time that as you looked into the eyes of another human being, you were in awe of what God had made? As you looked at the story of your life, you were just in awe of what he has done. As you looked at whatever area of interest that you have, some of you, you're like a science nerd. Some of you, that's like your thing. You love that. Some of you, you're into rocks, okay? You're like, I'm a rock hound. I know Kay Hansen, who's on staff in our church, she's a rock hound, okay? She goes looking for rocks, and she's like, I want to dig this up, and I want to see it and know everything about a rock. And I'm like, cool, man, that's great. But she's in awe. She also doesn't like that I said her name, so sorry, Kay, I didn't tell you about this beforehand. It's just this Holy Spirit moving, okay? But maybe it's science, maybe it's music, maybe it's something else. When's the last time that you were in awe and enjoyed exploring what God has made? Here's another magi mindset. Let's put the next one up on the screen. I would rather discover the truth than confirm my culture's convictions. Is that true about you? Would you rather discover what's true? Or would you rather sort of say what everybody else is saying? It's pretty uncomfortable to go against the grain. Have you noticed? And we got to be fair on both sides of that. You know, in the scientific community, they're funded, right? Their projects, their research is funded by people with agendas. And you know that there's cognitive bias in every religious community. So everybody has to watch out for this. We're all in the same boat on this one. Here's my guess. Maybe I don't know your story, but if you have a lot of people around you and they are interested in going on a journey to discover God, you're probably relatively open to it, unless something awful has happened somewhere along the way. And if you don't, you're not that open to it. See, sometimes fitting in feels a little more comfortable than knowing the truth. Sometimes figuring out what the capital T truth is, and this is for people of faith and for people that are not of faith, knowing what the capital T truth is, that can be scary. That could mean I'd have to change something. That could mean I would look like I was a fool for a period of my life. But what's wiser than a fool who can say I was wrong and now I see the light? Or a fool who doubles down because it's comfortable. It's because what everybody else is saying. My mom used to say when I was a kid, sorry, Mom, I didn't ask you if I could say this, but she used to say if I was a kid, I'd say, hey, well, so-and-so did it. And then Mom would say, Moms, maybe you know this line, if so-and-so was jumping off a bridge, would you do it too? I'm like, no, I wouldn't. I just saw a lot of mom eyes happen where they just, like looked right at their mom. So, sorry, Mom, I didn't ask your permission. I know if another pastor were saying this about their mom, I wouldn't do it either. I've learned my lesson. Okay, here we go. But here's the question. Are the relationships around you keeping you from actually taking a sincere look at what's going on? Or maybe is it time to look a little deeper, with more sincerity? Last one. This is our last Magi mindset, and I had to include a pun because I can't resist. I would rather experience the magic. See what I did there? No one else laughed either. I don't understand. It's funny to me, so it should be funny to you. I would rather experience the magic moment for myself. I'd rather experience the magic moment for myself. The Magi mindset is, well, I don't want to just hear about it. If God's doing something in the world, I don't want to just like hear about it from someone else who got to experience it. I'd like to experience that for myself. And here's what I've found, is that I have, in my entire career as a pastor, in my entire life as a Christian, I have never met someone who heard a logical syllogism and then became an atheist, or then became a Christian, or then became anything. Worldviews don't change because of logical syllogisms, no matter how logical you think you are. You know how they change? They change and grow because of the people around you and what you experience, and then you try to make sense of it logically after that. You put all those together and you have a worldview. But here's the thing, a lot of people don't even go on the journey. They don't even take one step because they think, well, I'm not going to find anything anyway. I don't want to waste my time. But you don't want to miss it either, do you? See, a Magi mindset says, I'd rather experience the magic moment for myself. I want to go see with my own eyes, not just a star in the sky. I want to see if the Son of God is born, I want to go see him. And that's what they did. What about you? Are you on a journey to experience God for yourself? Are you on a journey where you're actually sincerely open to him blowing your mind? Or is that just a little too out of the box for you? See, for the Magi, they weren't Jewish. They did not have the scriptures. That's why they came to Judea. They were humble enough to say, I have something I could learn here. And the evidence that I do see says that maybe, just maybe, it is worth exploring if there's some genuine magic here, some genuine glory to see. Those magic moments, those holy moments that are set apart, that turn the course of history, that turn the course of our story, that are filled with love, that are those moments that you take a camera out for, and you don't just want to see someone else's photo on social media. You want to be there to have taken the photo and posted it. You want to be there in the moment. And if you haven't, well, no wonder your journey feels dry. And if you haven't experienced it, maybe it's because it's time to take a step on the journey. That's what the Magi did. And take a look at what happened when they arrived in Bethlehem.
I'm sorry, is this your stable?
No.
We've come to honor the new king.
I'm sorry. King? Where? What is he talking about? A king?
What's his name?
His name is Jesus.
For Jesus, gold.
Myrrh.
Do you guys like frankincense?
I never know what to get.
Thank you.
For the newborn king.
On my back.
We're never going to hear the end of this, are we?
And I hope we never do.
You know, I think people are going to remember this night. What happened here around this manger will be celebrated for thousands of years. Families will come together and exchange presents and sing carols, all to remember the grace of this moment that we are witnessing right now.
Okay, Deborah.
She's back to talking crazy again.
She's crazy as a box of rocks. You know anyone that ever said that about Christians? Crazier than a box of rocks? Maybe they just needed to go a little farther on the journey. Because when you sincerely seek him, you'll surely find him. When you sincerely seek him, it's not some cosmic game of hide and seek. When you sincerely seek him, you'll surely find him. And let's just be very straightforward. I know in a room this size, there's someone that you've been radically uncomfortable this whole time because it feels like I'm talking to you. And you've been arms crossed to faith. And if I had your story, or if I was as smart as you, I'd probably have my arms crossed too. But here's what we both know. Deep down, the sincerity part hasn't been there, has it? There's probably hurt or social pressure that keeps your arms crossed. And I just want you to know, it's okay to uncross them, and you don't even have to let me know afterwards or anybody else know. But if you just did a Google search and then just looked up a bunch of people on YouTube that said what you already believe, that's not a Magi mindset, is it? It's not very sincere, is it? Same thing for us Christians. But when you sincerely seek him, the Magi, what they found, well, they found him. And what did they find when they found him? Was it just a baby? No, they found their Savior. See, the world thought that the Messiah would be the Savior of the Jews, but Jesus came, and that baby that Mary held in her arms, she would later, 33-ish years later, hold her baby once more in her arms after they crucified him. And this Messiah, who predicted his own death and resurrection and then pulled it off, this Messiah was seen by hundreds of people alive after being crucified and put in the tomb. Do you know any other king that the night that they were born is remembered like Jesus? How about any other myth? Maybe there's something more here. Maybe it's time to sincerely seek him. Because when you sincerely seek him, it changes things. When it's more than just some kind of like, well, I just need to prove, I need to prove that what I already believe is right, and then I can say, ha! That's not a question, is it? That's an agenda. But maybe there's a deeper way, a better way. And so the invitation today is sincerely seek him. How do you do that? And I know that you're probably thinking, well, the pastor's going to say, go to church and take this class and, you know, get baptized or volunteer in church. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to say. That's it. See, here it is. I put it on a slide, okay? And for some of you, the arms are crossed again. Because, oh, well, of course the pastor's going to say that. Come on, preacher boy. Think you can trick me into volunteering? Yes, I can. That's my plan. That's what this whole sermon has actually been about. No, these are just options. And maybe these are just four of many, many steps you could take on your journey. But maybe it's time to take one. One. Maybe it's time to take one. A sincere one. Because when you sincerely seek him, you will surely find him. We're starting a new theme. And I think a lot of people, they don't seek Jesus because they grew up being told that, well, if you have doubts and you have questions, God doesn't like that. So, shush. Well, in this church, we welcome questions. And just because I get a microphone doesn't mean that I'm going to pretend like I have all the answers. I don't. But you know what we can do? We can be honest. That's one of the great things about doing actual Christianity is you get to be honest and you get to actually explore the things that you're like, well, God, then why did this happen? Or why didn't you do it this way? Or I've always wondered. You can ask your questions. And you know what happens when you do? When you actually explore your questions rather than just assuming that you know, well, there's going to be a shallow answer on the other side of that one. No one's ever been able to answer it for me before. You know what happens? When you actually sincerely explore, when you sincerely seek him, you'll surely find him. So come back and worship. And don't just come occasionally. We're doing 52 questions all year long. I'd love it. And maybe your next step is to come back every week. By the way, did you know that God made us to worship together weekly? Not occasionally, but weekly. It's not for the church, although the church is better with you here. It's for you. It's for you and your soul and your faith and to grow. So come and worship. Or some of you, you heard all the people that clapped to this, like, yeah, I've taken Alpha. That's great. Some of you, you're like, I've been here forever and I've never taken that. I've always kind of considered it and just, you know, whatever. Like, or some of you, you think, well, that's the class for beginners. And everyone who's taken Alpha is like, yeah, you don't know, do you? It's not. It's definitely beginner-friendly. But Alpha is the best next step for anyone at any stage of their faith journey. And if you haven't taken it, I'm not going to try to sell you on it any more than I already have, but I want to just invite you. Come do Alpha. I'll be there. Come do Alpha. It's a great opportunity to explore the meaning of life. Maybe it's for you to get baptized and you're ready to make things official and to say that, okay, I'm all in with this Jesus thing. I believe and I want to make it official with God. Or it's time for this person in my family. We're going to have them baptized and we're going to raise them in the faith. Or maybe for some of you, like this is where I trick you into being a volunteer here. Okay, are you ready? All right. Everybody got your defenses up? Because I know we all have busy calendars. And some of you shouldn't volunteer. But for some of you, right now as I'm talking, there's this little like thing going on in your mind, or maybe it's not here yet, but it's gonna be in your mind. It's like, maybe I should do, maybe it's time that I serve. You know who the happiest people are in this church? They're the people that serve. The happiest people in this church are the people who serve because they get to be a part of something bigger than themselves. Because the light's shining, Hope. The star is shining right now. For the Magi, it was an actual celestial phenomena, but for us here at Lutheran Church of Hope, have you noticed how the light's shining? If you were here at Christmas Eve, especially if you were here at the 3 p.m., a note to self, come to another service other than the 3 p.m. in the future, okay? Because we didn't just have people in the overflow, and then the next overflow, and then the other overflow that we didn't plan for, and then another overflow. We had, guys, did you know that there were 1,000 more people that came to services this year? 1,000. So you kind of shocked us. And that's not because of anything we're doing here at Hope. That's because of what God is up to. It's a star shining in the sky. May this church be a star that shines in the sky, the light of God, so that the world around us, the magi of this world, the people with a mindset to see that maybe there's something worth finding, would come here and they would find it. They'd find it in you and in me. What's your next step? It's time to take a step, wise guy. It's time to follow the star, because when you sincerely seek him, you'll surely find him. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and sing to this one who is seeking us.